probably my two favorite characters in the Bible would be Jeremiah in the Old Testament and maybe John the Baptist. I'm not talking about, of course, Jesus Christ other than him. John the Baptist in the New Testament. Because I've always been fascinated by John the Baptist. So I thought what we would do today is take a look at his life. Because not too often that we go through in detail, I guess you could say, or more detail, about the life of John the Baptist. But there's quite a bit mentioned about him. A lot of it is in two chapters. Matthew chapter 1 and John chapter 1 has a lot of it. Or I should say Luke chapter 1 and John chapter 1, but there are other places too. But as we go through this, I have four points I'd like you to think about, if you would. One, consider his magnetism and dynamic personality, because certainly he was quite a person, humanly speaking. Number two, how many people flocked to him? He had, a dynamic personality, is magnetic, and people tend to flock to John the Baptist. Number three, his humility. He was an extremely humble person, but he had a lot of reasons, you know, humanly speaking, I guess you could say, human nature-wise, he pretty much had that under control for the most part. And number four, his willingness at the proper time to step away from the limelight. So I want, as we go through this, I'd like us to think about these four things: his magnetism, dynamic personality, how people flock to him, his humility, and his willingness at the proper time to step away from the limelight. So the man we're talking about here is John the Baptist. Now, I think first and foremost, I'm going to read a scripture that I'll probably read again right toward the end. But if you'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 11, because I think this probably is as good a culmination of John, what's said about John the Baptist as anywhere else I can find in the Bible, because these are the words of Jesus Christ. Matthew 11. Let's notice what Jesus Christ, and this was after the death of John, what Jesus said about him. Matthew 11, verse 11. Just one verse I'm going to read here. It says, "Assuredly I say to you," these are the words of Jesus Christ, "among those born of women, physical human beings, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist." It's quite a statement there. "But he or she who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." So that's quite a statement. Quite a statement by Jesus Christ. So as we read today, and I'm going to spend more time than I normally would reading some verses about him. But as we read today, I think you'll see clearly the quality that stood out among every other quality that made him such a great example of a human being. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1. Let's begin our study here of John the Baptist, because we talk about him a lot, but it hasn't been that many times I've heard a sermon just about him and his life, and I've given this sermon or similar before, but certainly not in this area. In Luke chapter 1, verse 5, so here's right at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. "There was in the days of Herod, who was the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. And he was the division of Abijah, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." So here is Zacharias and Elizabeth. "Now they were both righteous before God. They were walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." Now they weren't perfect, of course, but they were good, solid people. And he was a priest, but notice, verse 7, "she had no child." They had no child. Why? Because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in age. So, you know, they wanted a child. I know today in services this morning, Sam Sweat was speaking about children and so forth. And, you know, it's a joy to have a child. Now, some of your greatest joys in life come from our children, and sometimes our greatest sorrows could come from our children. But John, Elizabeth and Zacharias, they wanted a child. They didn't have one. Verse 8, "so it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, well, he was in the division of Abijah, or Abijah, however you pronounce it, and according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So, you know, this would sometimes, oftentimes, this may only happen once in a priest's lifetime. Now, it could have happened more than once, but it was very, for that to be drawn was not just normal. So, the whole multitude, he went into the temple to burn incense, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And then, while he was in there in the temple by himself, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. And the angel was standing on the right side of the altar of the incense. And when Zechariah saw this angel, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Because what would he think? It's nobody supposed to be in the temple while he was burning incense in that particular area of the temple. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer's heard. Your wife will bear a son, and you're going to call his name John. You're going to call his name John," is what the angel told him. "And you're going to have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth." Because they're going to see the older couple here, Zacharias and Elizabeth, who probably most everybody thought they would never have a child, they were going to have a child. "For he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. And he's going to neither drink wine nor stale drink." So that was what he was told. "And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." So he had the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. That's probably a sermon in and of itself. "He's going to turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." His job was to prepare people. Prepare them for the Lord. Zacharias, he said to the angel, probably not the best thing he ever said, "How am I going to know this? For I'm an old man. And my wife, she's well advanced in age." And then the angel said, "I am Gabriel." Well, you hear Gabriel mentioned sometime in the Bible. You see Michael mentioned sometimes in the Bible. This was Gabriel. There are other times I could point out when Gabriel was mentioned. But he said, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent here to speak to you and to bring you these good tidings. But behold, you're going to be mute and you're not going to be able... you're not going to be able to speak until the day when these things take place." Well, what does it take place? It takes 9 months, doesn't it, for a child to, normally. "Why? Because you didn't believe my words, which will be fulfilled in its own time." The people outside were waiting and waiting for Zacharias to come back out. It's like, where is he? They marveled. They lingered so long in the temple. But they couldn't go in because that was supposed to be only the priest going there. So they wondered what's going on. I'm sure they wondered what may have happened. When he came out, he couldn't speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now, after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months. 5 months. And she said, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men." She was so happy that they were going to have a baby. But I'm sure she did not realize anywhere close to the magnitude of what that baby would mean. Now, verse 26, I'll just read this one verse here. The sixth month, so remember, she hid for 5 months. The sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Nazareth, and the same Gabriel talked to Mary, who would be the mother of Jesus, Mary. Now, let's drop down to verse 57, when John was finally born. Now, you could read all this, but you'll see where Mary stayed there with Elizabeth for quite a while and so forth. But let's drop down to see when John was born. Verse 57. Now, Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy on her. They rejoiced with her. She had a child. I think of Abraham and Sarah now. I feel fairly positive that Zacharias and Elizabeth weren't 190, but they were older. So here's John born. Now it was on the eighth day, a child would be circumcised. They came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias. Why? Because that was the father's name. Oftentimes, you'll see a child named after their father, and they just assumed that they would want to name this child Zacharias. Now, when his mother answered and said, no, we're going to call him John. They said, there's nobody in your relatives named John. Why are you going to call him John? Well, why were they going to call him John? Because Gabriel told them to. Remember? So they made signs to his father. What will you have him called? And he asked for a writing tablet because he couldn't speak. And he wrote, saying, his name is John. And they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loose, and he spoke praising God, because, let's face it, he hadn't talked in over 9 months. Then fear, or I think if you look at that word in the Greek, it's more awe than fear. But fear, awe, whatever you want to put it, came on all who dwelt among them, and all the things were discussed throughout the hill country. They're all talking about this child. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? They knew something seemed special. What kind of child will this be? Well, as you know, the hand of the Lord was on him. Now, I could read on the words of Zacharias here, but let's just drop down to one verse at the end of this chapter to verse 80. It says, the child grew, this is talking about John, became strong in the spirit, was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. So he grew up in a desert country. And now John is sent out to preach. John is sent out to preach. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Now, what kind of man was John? Well, we know he was special, because how many people have an angel come to their father and say, you're going to have a child, you're going to name him John. It's going to be special. Well, in Matthew chapter 3, we see John preaching now. So probably 30 years or so. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. What did he preach? What did John the Baptist preach? He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God, is at hand. He says, repent, is what he was telling these men and women. For this is he who was spoken of the prophet Isaiah, who prophesied this. Back in Isaiah, it's one of the quotes from Isaiah. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. It's a quote from Isaiah 40. John himself, I always felt this was rather, I guess you could say humorous, but it's really just describing him. He was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Now, the camel hair, that was a very expensive raiment, so it wasn't like something cheap. And the locust and wild honey, I used to always think of that, I can't remember his name, that guy in Gone with Back to the Future, the one with the crazy hair. That wasn't John. That was whatever that guy was. But he had a different diet. Then Jerusalem and all of Judea and all the region around the Jordan went out to him. They were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Baptized by John the Baptist. Now, baptism, this is just the beginning, you see, of baptized. But what were they doing? They were confessing their sins. We hadn't seen much, hardly anything in the Bible about baptism until this time. And it's a topic that a little deeper than just reading it, but we'll move on. So when these men and women saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to his baptism, what did John say to the Sadducees and the Pharisees? He said, "You snakes, you brood of vipers," because they were a bunch of hypocrites. You know, God sees everything we do. We're not hiding anything from God. I don't know why people live their life sometimes thinking that, you know, you look at the news, you see some of these things that are said, and you think, what do they think they're doing? He called them a bunch of snakes. He said, "Who warned you, Pharisees and Sadducees?" Now, there were some good Pharisees. Not everyone was horrible. You know, Nicodemus. I mean, there were some good ones, but there were a lot of bad ones. "Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And what do you tell these Sadducees and Pharisees?" He said, "Bear fruits worthy of repentance." Bear fruits worthy of repentance. "Do you think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father? We have Abraham as our father. I say to you, God's able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that doesn't bear good fruits cut down and will be thrown into the fire." He says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming," talking about Jesus Christ, "he's mightier than I am," said John. "I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals. And he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." So John the Baptist, or the baptizer, as it's called a lot of times, was pretty dynamic here. Didn't cut a lot of slack. Let's turn over to Luke. Luke again, chapter 3 this time. Just wanted to give us some background about who this man was. Why would Jesus Christ praise him so much at the conclusion of John's life? Now over in Luke 3, we see a similar situation here, beginning in verse 10. Now I could read verse 7, 8, and 9 in the same words. He's telling the hypocrites, you better think about things. Verse 10, though. "So the people, they asked John, 'What shall we do then? They're baptizing and we're supposed to repent. What are we supposed to do?' they're asking. And he answered and said to them, 'Well, if you have two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has no has food, let him do likewise.'" You know, be willing to share and serve. "The tax collectors came to be baptized. And they said to him, 'Teacher, what shall we do?'" These the tax collectors. And John, I should say, said, "Well, collect no more than what is appointed you. Don't be taking more than you're supposed to take. Likewise, the soldiers ask him, 'What shall we do?' He said, 'Don't intimidate anyone, or don't accuse falsely, and be content with your wages.'" He was telling them what to do. Now the people, they were in expectation and all reason in their hearts about John, whether or not he was the Christ or the Messiah. He was so popular that maybe this is the Messiah that's coming. Maybe this is going to be the Christ. John answered and said to them, I indeed baptize you with water, but a mightier one is going to come, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose, who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Same thing we basically read earlier. I'll read verse 17 and 18. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge the threshing floor. He'll gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. And with many other exhortations, he preached to the people. Now let's notice who he pointed the people to. Let's turn over to John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. I think from reading those verses in Matthew 3 and Luke 3, it's fairly plain that hypocrisy was something John didn't stand for. And he called it out when he saw it. But in John chapter 1, verse 19, now this is the testimony of John. John the Baptist again, the baptizer. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, they said, who are you? Because remember, some were thinking maybe he was the Messiah. And he confessed, and he didn't deny, and said, I am not the Messiah. I am not the Christ. How hard would it be if he was probably the most famous, I guess you could say, preacher in the world, or in this area, to say, no, I'm not the one you should be looking toward. You know, I've noticed over the years, I was in business most of my life, and I've seen so many times over the years in the business world when somebody, whatever position they had, when they got to a certain point, if they didn't get another promotion or whatever the case would be, they just left to go to another company. Now, oftentimes that may be a good thing, but they just didn't want to stay around for that company anymore. Remember the Feast of Tabernacles one year. I remember this so clearly. I remember what year it was. I remember the person, but I'll just leave it at that. This one particular man got up and gave one of the best sermons I've ever heard at the feast about why he would never leave the Church of God. And then within 6 months, he was gone. I thought, how does that happen? I remember once when I was in New Orleans, hadn't been in the church long at all, and there was a spokesman's club, ladies' night one night. And the particular one, it was table topics, and one lady stood up, and she talked about her husband in a way that was made me think, wow, what a fortunate man to be married to her. Because I was single, and she was going on and on about her husband and all that he did. And then less than 6 months later, she ran off with another man. Words are cheap. Words don't mean anything if they're not backed up with action. And I could go into so many situations, but I'll just leave it at that. Now, let's notice verse 21, same chapter. John chapter 1. So they ask him, you know, he said he wasn't the Christ, so they ask him, well, are you Elijah then? And he said, no, I'm not Elijah. They said, well, are you the prophet? And he said, no, I'm not the prophet. And they said to them, then who are you? That they may give an answer to those who sent us. So evidently some men were sent by the authorities. What do you say about yourself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. He was a preparer. He was quoting the words of Isaiah, what Isaiah had said. Now, who were those that were sent to ask him this? Were they, as it says right here, they were the Pharisees. They were from the Pharisees. And they ask him, well, if you're not Elijah, if you're not the prophet, if you're not the Christ, why are you baptizing? If you're not the Christ. Why are you baptizing if you're not Elijah? Why are you baptizing if you're not the prophet? John said, I baptize with water. But there one who's among you, who stands among you in that little area where they were. There's one that's standing here. You don't know him. But it's he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I'm not even worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Now, let's say something I think very interesting. The next day, verse 29. John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him. And John said, Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me. For he was before me. Jesus Christ was eternal. This is who I'm talking about. I didn't know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending like a dove from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I didn't know him, he said, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I think, in a way, this is probably the major comment verse about John the Baptist that he saw, verse 34. And I've seen, said John, and I testify that this Jesus, he's the Son of God. You know, most of his disciples never even realized that. In many cases, till after he was resurrected. So I guess you could say this is, to me, the climax of John's ministry. It's the Son of God. Now notice the first disciples. Who were Jesus Christ's first disciples? Well, let's read verse 35 to 42. Again the next day, John, he stood with two of his disciples. John had disciples. Right here it says he stood with two of his disciples. And I could point out others, but these were two of his John's disciples. And looking at Jesus, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. They didn't understand the significance of what it meant by the Lamb of God, that he would die for the sin. They didn't understand. Who knows how much insight some may have had, but they didn't totally understand. Well, the two disciples, what disciples? Two of John's disciples. They heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned and seeing them fall and said to them, Who are you looking for? And they said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? So he said to them, Come and see. And they came, they saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. Now it was the 10th hour, which would have been 4 p.m. So one of the two who heard John speak, who were these two disciples? One of them was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Andrew was one of the 12 apostles, was he not? One of John's disciples was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he found his own brother, Simon, that was Simon Peter. And he said to Simon Peter, We found the Messiah, which is to say the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him and said, You're Simon. You're going to be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. Two of his disciples. Now, I could keep reading here, but here are more of John's disciples. You see Philip, and you see, there's John had disciples. In fact, even Nathanael. Well, let me just read. I'll read a few verses here. Verse 43. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. He found Philip, said to him, "Follow me." And Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Simon and Andrew and Peter. So Philip found Nathanael, said to Nathanael, "We found the one that Moses and the law talked about, and all the prophets said." But Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" It's not considered, shall we say, the top of the line place to live. I could read on, but I think the point of the matter is John had disciples. And John, what did John do? He pointed his disciples to Jesus. To Jesus. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 3. As I wanted to get in our mind about John, because there's more John said about John here in early verses of Matthew, Luke, and John than any other place. But Matthew 3, verse 13. We read part of this before when he was preaching. But let's drop down to Matthew 3:13. Then Jesus, I should say, came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him, by John. Jesus, the Son of God, was going to have John baptize him. And John tried to prevent him. He said, I need you to baptize me. Why are you coming to me to have me baptize you? And Jesus answered and said, "Permit it to be so for now, for this is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." So then John allowed Jesus to let him baptize him. Then Jesus, when he had been baptized, came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So John, at this point, is stepping aside. Now, it doesn't mean John didn't still preach, because he did. I'll show where he still was. But John was willing to step aside. I remember I had a pastor once. I remember him saying this years and years ago. He said he would never ordain anyone that he thought would leave the church if they had to have something taken away. I always remember him saying that. I remember a church area, a little small church, back when UCG started, in a little small town, probably had 10 to 12 people, was in someone's house. And this one particular man used to always talk about, he thought this one deacon was probably going to start coming and attending. And finally that deacon started attending, and the man that had the things in his home just quit attending. Started his own thing. Got mad because the deacon started coming. And then this particular man, who I liked the man just fine, but it didn't handle the situation right, he actually called me one day and wanted me to come to speak to his little group. Like, why would I want to do that? But, you know, we just can get so sidetracked on what is really important sometimes. So now we see, let's turn back to John again, John 2. Now we see Jesus preaching. I'm not going to read much of this chapter, but if we read here, we see Jesus doing some things. We see Jesus, beginning of his ministry on earth, turning water into wine. We see Jesus down in verse 13, cleansing the temple, the money changers in the temple. Then in John chapter 3, we see Jesus speaking to Nicodemus. who was one of the Pharisees, speaking to Nicodemus. But then you look, you drop down to chapter 3 of John, verse 22. John 3, verse 22. After these things, what things? Well, some things we just looked at. Speaking to Nicodemus, turning water into wine, cleansing the temple. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came to the land of Judea, and there they remained. There he remained with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing. So Jesus, his disciples, I should say, were baptizing. And John was also baptizing in Enon near Salem, because there was much water there. Well, that pretty much tells you, why would you sprinkle? You know, it's immersion. Turn to Romans 6 to go into that. They came, they were baptized. Now, verse 24. But John had not yet been thrown into prison. John got arrested by Herod, thrown into prison. You know how that story turned out. He was eventually beheaded by Herod. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples. So he was still baptized. He wasn't in prison yet, but he was getting close to that time. Very close. There arose a dispute among some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. They came to John and said, Rabbi or teacher, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, speaking of Jesus, to whom you have testified, behold, he's baptizing. And they're all going to him instead of you, John. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it's been given to him from heaven. You yourselves, he says, bear witness that I said, and we read it earlier, I'm not the Christ. I've been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friends of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. John was thrilled that he had seen and was beginning to understand about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. He, John, speaking of Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all, and he who was of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. Jesus is ahead of... He pointed to Jesus. John is no longer top drawer. But does he seem like he's upset about it? He just got through saying, the joy of mine is fulfilled. That John was still preaching. How many people, if someone was getting more popular than themselves, would not be just a little bit jealous, maybe? Verse 32. Same chapter, John 3. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son, and has given all things into his hands, into Jesus Christ, the Son's hands. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God will abide upon him. So John was saying, here is the Messiah, it's not me. So John praises and points them to Jesus. Luke chapter 3 again. Luke chapter 3. I just wanted to get in our minds as much as possible. As you turn to look through, think about these three things we said at the front. How magnetic and dynamic was John's personality. How people flocked to John. But notice how humble he was. And notice his willingness at the proper time to step away from the limelight. In Luke 3, verse 19. Luke 3, verse 19. But Herod the Tetrarch, this was a little while later, it kind of moves forward a little bit, being rebuked by who? By John, concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for all the evil deeds Herod had done. He added to above this all, he shut up John in prison. Threw John in prison. Again, let's turn back over to Matthew 11. Let's take a look at this for a minute. Matthew 11. So Herod threw John in prison. Remember, John was still preaching what we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Matthew 11. I could do Robin Weber does sometimes. Stay with me. He calls me from time to time, and it's not usually a real short conversation, but it's always enjoyable. Matthew chapter 11, verse 1, 2, and 3. To begin here, now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in other cities. Because now Jesus had his 12 apostles. When John, who was in prison, when he heard about the works of the Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Two of John's disciples. And they said to him, to Jesus, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Now, in one sense you could say, was John losing a little bit of his faith? Well, possibly a little bit, but maybe in other ways he was pointing them, because he had already said that Jesus is the Son of God. So, you know, but notice what Jesus, how he answered. Now, this was a long time into Jesus' ministry. You know, it was only 3.5 year ministry. But here's verse 4. Here's what Jesus said to John's disciples. He said, Jesus answered and said to them, "Go tell John the things which you hear and see." So what were these folks looking for? They're looking for a powerful Messiah to rescue them from Rome. But Jesus wasn't rescuing them from Rome. He was preaching and healing and doing, you know, things like that. Totally opposite of what was being looked for by the average man and woman of the time then. Jesus told these disciples, "Go back to John and say, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk." And we can point out numerous examples where Jesus healed. "The lepers are cleansed." We can see plenty of examples of lepers being cleansed. "The deaf hear." We can see where he healed people of hearing. "The dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached to them." He didn't come this first time to just dismantle the Roman Empire government and take over in a powerful way. He came to preach the gospel. He came to heal. "And blessed is he," Christ said, "who is not offended because of me." So I don't know how, you know, you're in prison, you're all by yourself. Who knows what all was going through John's mind. "And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John." So remember, John was still in prison. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see?" Where? Well, when he was preaching and baptizing, what did you go out to see? Did you go out to see a reed shaking in the wind? Did you go out to see somebody that didn't stand up for what he believed? Did you go out to see somebody that didn't have character, that didn't stand up for what he believed? Did you go out to see somebody that wasn't willing to be step aside when the proper time was to have, as we see Jesus taking his place? "What did you go out to see?" Verse 8. Do you go out to see a man clothed in soft garments? You know, he said, "Indeed, those who wear soft garments are in kings' houses." "What did you go out to see? A prophet?" And yeah, that's who they went out to see. And Jesus said, "I tell you, he was more than a prophet. For this is he whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" pretty high praise. Matthew 14, the death of John. Matthew 14, I'll read verse 1 through 13, I believe it is. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus, all that he was doing. And Herod said to his servants, this is John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead. And therefore, that's what this power is. For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him, put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, when John told Herod, it's a sin what you're doing. Do you just overlook things that you know are wrong? Do you just kind of say, it's not important, let's just let things go by? John didn't do that. John said, it's not lawful for you to have her. Although he wanted to put him to death, Herod wanted to put John to death, he feared the multitudes because they counted John as a prophet. When Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore, Herod promised with an oath to give her whatever she wanted. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, give me John the Baptist's head here on this platter. The king was sorry. Probably he was said he wanted him to die, but he was probably afraid. He was sorry. Nevertheless, because of the oaths and because of those who sat at the table, he commanded it to be given to her. So they sent, had John beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. And John's disciples came and took away the body and buried it. And they went and told Jesus. Notice, they got the body, they went and buried it, and they went and told Jesus. Right after this, we see the feeding of the 5,000 by Jesus. But right before, we see Jesus giving a final tribute to John after he heard he was dead. That's found in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Final tribute by Jesus Christ about John the Baptist. Verse 31 to 36. So Jesus hears that he's dead. Jesus said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John. He's borne witness to the truth. Yet, I do not receive testimony from man, said Jesus, but I say these things that you may be saved. And then he says this about John. He was a burning and a shining light. Whoa, what an example. How would I love to have that said about me? John was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John, said Jesus, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me, sent Jesus. So Jesus is the Messiah. John was just the forerunner. Now, final scripture, Matthew chapter 11. Read it at the beginning, but we'll read it here at the end. Matthew 11, verse 11 and 12. Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he and she who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Why? Because they're spirit beings. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, said Jesus, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. It's not a smooth running ship. You got to fight for the truth. And we're all flawed human beings. But from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. In other words, we got to fight against Satan. We got to fight against evil. But Jesus said he was the greatest born of women. Now the head of John the Baptist, boy, every one of these I'm sure is wrong. But the head of John the Baptist is claimed to be in numerous places. In medieval times, it was said to be in the Catholic Knight Templars. It said they had his head. The Muslims, of whom John is a major figure in the Muslim worship, they say his head is preserved in Damascus. If you go to Rome, there's a head in the San Silvestre church that is claimed to be John the Baptist's head. Can't all be right, can they? Probably they're all wrong. I'm almost sure they're all wrong. His right hand, the one that supposedly baptized Jesus, when they say baptized Jesus, is purported to be in the headquarters of the Serbian Orthodox Church. It makes me think of one year at the feast in France, going to Italy right after the feast and going to the Vatican. The only time I've ever been to the Vatican for one afternoon. And they have this statue that's supposed to be a statue of Peter. I won't go into that too much. But at that statue of Peter, men and women just... they're there, and we were there looking around and seeing it, and that statue of Peter, it's been, so many people have done their little sign and touched the foot that it's worn off, the whole foot is gone. It's just all rubbed away. And standing there one day, we saw all these people going up one after another, and I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention. My daughter, Margie, she's about 10 at the time, I thought, where's Margie? And I looked, and she was up there touching that stupid statue and doing the little thing. She didn't know what she was doing. And I thought, oh, no, what's happening to my daughter? And this woman, she was from New Jersey. I remember that. I had never met, never would meet her again. She said, is that your daughter? And I just wanted to apologize about it. And I said, oh, yeah. She said, I'll never forget what she said. She is wise beyond her years. She touched that steep toe of that statue. John would be embarrassed if people were, you know, Peter would be embarrassed. Things like that. John always wanted to point people to Christ. As Jesus said, he was a burning, a shining light who did his job and was ready to just move into the background, wasn't he? How many people in this world, and I have to look at myself and ask myself this, because, hey, we got human nature, folks. Boy, human nature can really do a number. It affects us all. How many people could have handled the adulation, the importance, the popularity that was given to John the Baptist and then have Jesus just sort of take it over? John was the most humble man you'll ever read about in the Bible, even though he's very dynamic. He was the greatest born, no one greater than born of women. Jesus said it. But for those, and I've read the scripture earlier, for any one of us or any human being that's born in the kingdom of God, even the least will be greater than John. Why? Because they will be, and I trust many of us will be, spirit beings in the family of God. John was human. Now John will be in the kingdom of God, but he wasn't yet. John the Baptist, a bright and a shining light, but a man who knew who his Savior was.